So Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a living word. And we can read it and reread it. And I think Linda and I have been doing Bible in a day and a year for about 8 or 9 years now. And every year, your word comes afresh with something new, something that we maybe haven't picked up on before. But Lord, that's why you tell us to meditate upon your word and not just to read it as we would read a book. So Lord, I just pray that you be with me now. Just take control of me, Lord. Let me be your mouthpiece. But Lord, we only want to hear from you this morning, because it's only what you've got to say to each one of us that matters. And it's only what you've got to say that will help us to grow in our faith and to be stronger for you. So Lord, be with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 to 11. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness while living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regards to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just call on your strength now. Lord, I just pray that you'll enable me to deliver your word with your power and with your authority. And Lord, if there's anything that I've written down here in front of me that doesn't meet with your approval, just blow it away, Lord. Just take it away. Make it my eyes not pick it up. Because, as I've already said, we need to hear from you. We need a touch from you this morning. So be with us now, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this morning's message, it's a question. Are you on the Lord's side? Now that is a question none of us can answer for anyone else. It's a question that we need to answer for ourselves. It's important to remember that if you're on the Lord's side, well then, it's a personal relationship you have with him, not a cooperative, although we meet together in fellowship. You know, that's why we read from my old friend Jeremiah, who I've already quoted this morning. 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." From that verse, it's clear to me that it is a personal promise, isn't it? It's a promise for each one who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. You know, it couldn't be any clearer. It's for you, not for us, but for you. We are all individuals. As King David informs us, as he addressed God in Psalm 141, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Wow. Don't we know just how wonderful his works are? You see, our God does not create carbon copies or clones, only individuals who have their own personality, their own DNA, their own fingerprints, and nobody's got the same. And even now, they're on about the irises in your eyes, even they're individual. They're taking photographs of them and trying to sell you loads of photographs of your eyes now, if you want to get them done, to see what you look like. You know, but I'll leave that one. It's important, though, to remember, if you're on the Lord's side, that it is recommended, in fact it's necessary, that you belong to a fellowship. Because we don't have all the gifts individually. We need each other, and we rely on each other. We are not clones. We are all individuals, and we've all got individual gifts. It's important we realize, as we're told in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14, "Just as a body has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Couldn't be clearer. We do rely on each other. I have met Christians and they say, "I don't need to go to church. I'm good." Well, I say, "Well, what gifts have you got? And what are you doing with them? Are you storing them away in a cupboard?" It reminds me of the story an old pastor told once. There's a chap, he got a gold, lovely gold pocket watch as a retirement present. He went home and he stuck it in his drawer. Didn't look at it. 30, 40 years later, he died. His grandson came across the watch. It was left to him in his will. Got the watch, tried to wind it up, and the mainspring went boom. Why? Because it hadn't been loved, it hadn't been used, it hadn't been exercised. And that's what happens to Christians if they don't stay in the fire. Once the coal falls out of the fire, onto the hearth, it suddenly loses its heat and goes back to coal rather than a heat source. So we need fellowship one with another. So we were not created to operate alone or in our own strength. As we've already read in our opening reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verse 10 and 11 again, "Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful servants and stewards of God's grace in its various forms." If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. You see, the power and the glory is all the Lord. It's not Jerry Kelly standing here telling you a story. Yeah, it all belongs to the Lord, and it's all to glorify him. And by giving the Lord due glory and praise, you receive a blessing, because Scripture tells us that our Lord is no man's debtor. No one knew that following the Lord would be so difficult at times, better than Jesus did. And he instructed his disciples how to reinforce their strength, as it were, as we can read in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. It's important that we remember that we are never on our own. At times it feels like it, when we get in troubles or there's difficult times. We can all get down and feel, oh, poor me. But you know, we're never on our own. It's important that we remember that the help and support and comfort and release from all our fears is only a prayer away. And it's available 24/7. You'll never get an engaged tone. You will never be directed to an answer phone. Jesus promises in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I can't speak for you all here today, but I know and I admit there have been times when I have gone like a headless chicken, chasing around all sorts of different places, trying to find advice on an issue or other. And it's only when I realize that it's getting nowhere that I remember the first port of call should always be to the Lord, because no one is able to help us more than what he is. You know, I've never been let down by the Lord in 57 years. And when I look back, I can clearly see where he led me by the hand, opening doors for me that I would be blessed. And there were times when he closed doors to protect me from being silly and causing myself more harm than good. And being an ex-fireman, there's times when doors need to be closed and you've got to be careful what you're doing, because you don't want to get caught out. But you know, King David knew all about the Lord's protection as well, as we can read from Psalm 23, verses 2 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. You know, I love that psalm, because that's a promise to all of us who know and love the Lord. That's what we've got to look forward to. That's the hope that we have got. I find it very comforting to know that once you've accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you can take ownership of that promise as well as all the other promises that there are in the Scripture. If you don't have the Lord on your side, then you've got ownership of all the curses. And there's a lot more curses than there are promises. You know, if you haven't as yet not made the decision to accept the Lord as your Savior, I recommend that you take a look at the Gospel in a nutshell. John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Wow. Could it be any simpler? It's so simple that it's difficult for educated people to grasp. There's a lot of people who think they should be doing something. They've got to do something. They've got to do a penance. They've got to walk on their hands and knees, beat themselves with flails and all sorts. But you don't. All you've got to do is to believe in his Son. And that promise is there for you. It could not be simpler. All you need to do is to accept God's precious gift. You know, and it's freely offered to all who will accept it. But like any offer, don't care what it is, it doesn't become yours until you take ownership of it and accept it. Jesus told his disciples, as you can read in John 14, verse 6, it reads, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, couldn't be any clearer. So let me ask you again this morning, are you on the Lord's side? I hope you're all gone. Yeah? Because there's no other side to be. You know, if you're on the Lord's side, you can claim all of God's promises, I've already said. Or, if not, are you going to be still sitting on that fence? You know, anybody sitting on a fence for a long time will know you'll get tired. And you'll fall off that fence. And it's providence in the natural world as to what side you fall on. You normally fall facing forward, so you fall on your face. And if you fall on your face, you're on the wrong side. You don't need to fall on or off the fence if you trust in the Lord and you take the necessary decision to ensure that you fall on the Lord's side. We are given a warning in Revelations, and we are given a promise in Revelation. Going with the promise first. Revelations 21, verse 4. The promise. If you belong to the Lord and you're on his side, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Wow. What a promise. What a promise. Now that applies only if your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Otherwise, you come to the warning, not the promise. In Revelations 21 again, going to verse 27. Which reads, "Nothing impure will ever enter it. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there are the two choices that we have. You're either in the book or you're not in the book. And the book isn't something that you can write yourself into. It's got to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It'll be written in Jesus' blood, because that's the coverings that we have got, the only righteousness that we have got. You know, if you're listening to this message and you haven't made your choice as yet, I hope, trust and pray that you consider it and that you make the right choice, the only choice that will give you hope. And you can claim my old mate Jeremiah's thing. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope on the future. And what a future that is. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. We're all going to be perfect. In the twinkle of an eye, we're going to be turned into the likeness of his son. I don't know what that's going to be like, but I'm looking forward to it. And some people say, well, you're daft. How can you look forward to something that you've never experienced? Well, I've experienced all the other things and none of them are worth looking forward to. You know, so let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises that you have for those who accept the promise of your Son as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, they are such a blessing. When we don't need to worry about anything because we know that you've got our corner. We are safely embedded with you. And we can depend on you, Lord. Your word tells us that you care for your children. You are the good shepherd who looks after his sheep. And Lord, there are times when we go astray, as sheep do. But Lord, you love us enough to just pull us up by the Holy Spirit. And when we come back and say, we're sorry, you not only forgive us our failings, you forget about them. And that is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. There's times that we get hurt by people and we say, well, we forgive them, but we can't forget because of the old self-preservation thing. But Lord, you don't need to worry about that because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just put our trust in you and say, thank you, Lord. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' name, amen.